place is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king's coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. Faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand to stand all aglow. Those who broken ruin, glad in garments white as snow.
What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait. Let me save the rest of that song for later in this broadcast. Now listen, Matthew 24, Jesus Christ's greatest prophetic sermon. Matthew 24, Jesus Christ's greatest prophetic sermon. You know, I don't think it is possible in this Bible to find a sermon greater than Matthew 24. And it's a prophetic sermon. It's a sermon that really deals beautifully with the end time. And this broadcast today, as far as I'm concerned, is probably one of the most important I have ever done. And I want you involved. All across this nation, any part of the world, we're being heard all the way around this globe. And it's a thrill to me. These telecasts and broadcasts, they're both radio and internet, and they are all for the purpose of teaching the Bible. All we talk about, basically, is this Bible. That's what we're out to do. We're out to teach you the things of the Bible and to make you love the Bible as you've never loved it in all of your life. Now, in just a little bit, the lines will be open and you can call me. Let me give you the numbers, write them down, get them all set for yourself. The local number is 704-391-0588. That's our number all the time right here at Paul Creek Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. 704-391-0588. But we have a toll-free number, Canada and America, all over America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. But then, all over the world, we have an internet number or an internet signal. And you can email us from anywhere on the face of this globe, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Then that's local, 704-391-0588. International, America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. That, by the way, is 1-800-1-800-TRUTH. I like that. 1-800-TRUTH. And then international, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This is a marvelous chapter. It has seven movements in it. Now, these seven movements will be on the internet. They'll be on the post when we send it out, okay? So you'll be able to get the post when it goes out, and I hope you will get the post. But it is really, indeed, breathtaking. It's beautiful. Let me give you those seven movements in this chapter. Number one is the introduction, verses 1, 2, and 3. That's the introduction, verses 1 through 3. And then the signs of the end time. That begins with verse 4 and goes to verse 14, 11 verses. And then the great tribulation. That's the seven-year great tribulation called Jacob's trouble. It's also called the 70th week of Daniel. It's called the time of judgment, the great tribulation. Jesus said the greatest that ever has been nor ever would be, and that is in Matthew 24. Now that is in verses 15 through 26. There's 12 of those verses. And then there's a little interlude, because he's fixing to move to something very different. That interlude is number 4, and that's the transition. And then number 5, and you don't want to miss this. You really don't. It's the glorious, wait a minute, I didn't get in there number 4, and that is the glorious return of Christ. The glorious return of Christ to establish his kingdom on the earth. And that's what those disciples was really, really looking for. They expected Jesus to do it while he was here. They thought he'd run the Romans out and he would end all of the hypocrisy of the Sadducees and Pharisees that ran the temple. And he would set up the kingdom of God on earth and sit on the throne of David. They was expecting that in his life. But he tells them in this verse, in this great chapter, that will be after the great tribulation period. Following the great tribulation period, Jesus returns to this earth. That's his second coming. But then there's this interlude, that's number 5, and that's the break between the prophetic future and a promise that he wanted to give them called the pre-tribulation rapture. The pre-tribulation rapture. That begins with verse 37 and goes to verse 42. Now, if you'll use these outlines in your study of Revelation, it'll come alive. Remember now, you got the introduction, you got the signs of the time, you got the great tribulation, you got the return of Christ to set up his kingdom, then you got this little interlude, and then you've got the great rapture. The glorious hope of the coming of Christ to get his people so they would escape that tribulation he just talked about. They would escape it. They would miss it. And he made that very plain. And that's why he started it as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. He was trying to give them hope that all of this misery coming, they didn't have to be a part of it. That's called the pre-tribulation rapture. Then there's one last movement, and that's his judgment. His rewards are his judgment. Rewards for those who are ready when he comes, and judgment for those who are unready, those who backslid, or those who are not obeying and living for God. That's number 7. 7 breathtaking movements. Now, if you missed any of that, you called and asked me to speak to you about number 4, number 5, whichever, and I'll do my best. And then we're going to offer this outline in this booklet on the chapter 24, the great sermon by Christ. And I'm going to give you a sermon that I preached last Sunday morning on this subject. A sermon from last Sunday morning, Matthew 24, the grand sermon of Jesus Christ. The grand sermon of Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 24. What a book, what a chapter in this Bible. The greatest prophetic sermon that Jesus preached. Did you hear me? I want you to say that to everybody you meet. You've got to read Matthew 24, the greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached on the prophetic message of the Bible. He told us about these signs. He told us about the tribulation. He told us about his coming to set up his kingdom. He then stopped and warned us and then gave us hope of how we could miss that tribulation and how we could be with him while that tribulation was on this earth. And then he promised some rewards. I mean, his promises to people who are ready to go when the rapture takes place are breathtaking promises. His warning to those who are careless and idle and backslid when he comes will take your breath away. I'm here to tell you, it will take your breath away. We'll get to that. Maybe not today, but if not, next week. And we're going to learn Matthew 24. It is my desire to teach you Matthew 24 in such a manner that you will never forget it. I want to get it in your hands. I want to get it in your heart. I want to get you in this book. I ask my whole congregation to read Matthew 24 every day this week. I hope they did. I know I did, because I asked them to do it, and I was expecting them to do it. And if they're listening and they haven't done it, they better get busy today, because I want them to read it. I want us to know what is facing us, what's coming. It's grand. It's glorious. Now, I'm ready for questions and answers, and I expect a lot of them. I really do. You can email me, jrc@paulcreek.org, but I really like the phone calls. You can call long distance anywhere in America. Use our 800 number, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, while you are calling and we're getting ready to dive into Matthew 24, Charlotte is in a crisis. Charlotte is in a crisis. A few days ago, I have the date here, November, well, it was last year, November the 24th, a man by the name of Scott Bishop, who is with the Human Rights Campaign, he introduced to the city of Charlotte, the council of the city of Charlotte, a new ordinance change that he wanted to happen that would add to the means of non-discrimination in the city, protected sexual orientation, gender expression, gender identity, that would be a transvestite, family status and marital status, and he wants that to be part of the sexual non-discrimination codes in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, the city council is meeting Monday night. It begins at 6:00. I will be there. Others will be there, and we will take a stand. I promise you, if this city, if the council of this city would dare, you're talking about non-discrimination. That means a person who's a homosexual can go into a ladies' restroom. A person who is a lesbian can go in the men's restroom. It would give them protection to do anything they want to do and to rub it in your face, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. In fact, it would make Charlotte a Sodom and Gomorrah. That's exactly what it would do. It would turn Charlotte into a Sodom and Gomorrah. So everybody listening to me has got to get on your knees and pray for us. Pray for us to be gentle. Pray for us to be kind. Pray for us to be loving. Pray for us to want to win those people in those erroneous lifestyles. We want to win them to Christ. I want to see them saved. But these people want to assure them that God made them that way. I heard Keith on WBT trying to tell his listener on Friday morning that these people can't help what they are. They can't help their homosexual. They can't help their transvestite. This is something they didn't choose. Come on, Keith. You know better than that. You know better than that. I called and left a message. I don't know whether you called me or not. I told him he was taking God on. He was arguing with God. He was attacking God. I cannot imagine anything so serious as those kind of things. Well, let's don't make that the conversation. I want to talk about Matthew 24. But if anything proves Matthew 24 is right where we are, then those kinds of things prove that Matthew 24 is right where we are. Now, what we want to do to begin with, and I'll be looking for your calls. I want to hear from you. Start streaming with Prime Music. Well, I've got good music. I can get better, maybe. But I love what I've got. Please give us a call. Please give us an email. Now, we're opening up. While I start with the second movement in this chapter, the first movement, that's the introduction to the chapter, only 3 verses. The second movement is 11 verses, and it's the signs of this hour, the signs. And I want to read that, if I might. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Boy, is that day here. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, these false people are not calling themselves Christ. They're calling him Christ, and they're coming in his name. But their message is a false message. They are deceiving people by using the name of Jesus. You see, the greatest deception in the world is the deception that's done in the name of Jesus. That's the greatest deception there is when you preach error and you do it in the name of Jesus. And our world is full of that. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now notice, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. Have you done a study of those things recently? Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. That word pestilence means infectious diseases. Infectious diseases. Someone told me this week about that new bug that's called, what was that bug called? The giant bug, the bad bug, something that you cannot be healed from. If you get it, you die. I don't know anything about that detail, so don't ask me a question on him. I've not learned that yet, but I'm seeking. All these, he said, are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Do you know how many Christians have been kidnapped in Syria this week by ISIS? Somewhere between 250 and 400. They're not even sure. These are Christians, many of them women and children. They'll be raped, they'll be molested, and then probably their heads cut off or them burned together. We don't know which yet. We pray neither will happen. We pray that they can be delivered. I wish our people were in there who knows what they're doing, and right now setting those women and children free. It sure would make me happy. But what a fulfillment of that verse of Scripture. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you understand how much Christians are hated today? There was a man before Congress this week who served in the Obama administration that said more Christians have died in the previous year because of all of that's happening than in the last 40 years. 40 years, all the way back to Hitler and Lenin. All the way back to Hitler and Lenin, while others in the administration were saying it's getting better, the truth is it's getting worse by the day, and the fulfillment of the Bible is upon us. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That's happening in the church. Many are being offended. You can hardly preach anything that you don't offend somebody. You can't show them love that you don't offend them. I welcome people to church, and then I find out later they didn't want nobody to call their name, so they aren't coming back. And then I don't welcome somebody, and then I hear they're not coming back because nobody noted that they were there. Which do I do? It's like, whatever you do, you're offending somebody. I know you preachers are finding the same thing. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Boy, have you ever seen evil so, I mean, just abounds. People who are big in the church are in ball games on Sunday instead of the house of God. Every kind of thing you can imagine, because iniquity is so big, the love of many has waxed cold. What a drought in the church today. What a drought in the church today. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But listen, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I don't know about you, but my word, my commitment is endurance. Endurance to the end. I'm hanging in here. I'm going to give it all I got until it's over. Hallelujah. When will it be over? I don't know, but soon. I don't know, but soon. I was praying this week, and the Holy Ghost said to me, the devil's reign is almost over. The devil's reign is almost over. He said it to me. And I knew it. Oh, I knew it from the Bible. But boy, when the Spirit of God spoke it in my heart, the devil's reign is almost over. Did you hear that? I wish you'd say that to everybody you see this week. The devil's reign is almost over. The devil's reign is almost over. Let me read the last verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. Right now, I'm reading this to the world. There's not a country on the face of this globe where one person has an internet and they got it tuned into me that I'm not preaching the gospel in their country to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, dear brother. and he won't mind me saying this, he's probably listening, said to me, you know, all this stuff that we've got, these computers and all this internet, I wish we could just go back to how it was before all this stuff came. And I said, wait a minute, you need to read Matthew 24 and verse 15. Verse 14. And the gospel shall be preached. There's places you couldn't get the gospel in with a bulldozer, with an airplane. The only way to get it in is the internet. And us preaching just like this, and shortwave radio, that's another way. I mean, God has opened the door, and we're preaching the gospel to the whole world. Now, those are the signs, and my computer's loaded, and you send your question, and we're going to do our best to answer every one of them we can, but I want my phones to ring off. 704-394-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. Anything about Matthew 24. Anything about Matthew 24. Anything about these signs. Anything about the 7-year tribulation. About Jesus' return to set up his kingdom on the earth. The great rapture. And then the rewards or judgments for those ready or not ready when the rapture occurs. What a chapter in the Bible. The sermon. The grand prophetic sermon of Jesus Christ. Nobody preached this but Jesus Christ in its origination, in its original form. Nobody. This is Jesus preaching. This is the Son of God. Well, I want to hear from you. I really do. So grab your phone, call. The ladies are standing by to send you a CD copy of a sermon on this subject that I preached in the pulpit right in there last Sunday morning. You want a CD copy? You can order a DVD copy, and you can hear it on the internet if you'll just go to your internet. But I want to give you a copy of that sermon and then a copy of this booklet with that seven, please understand, movements of Matthew 24. Seven movements of Matthew 24. They will help you understand the book of the book of Matthew, but chapter 24 especially, like you've never understood it before. It has given me a thrill to study Matthew 24 using those seven movements that make up that great chapter. And I want to send it to you. So grab your phone. The ladies are waiting on you. Don't wait till the last minute and you can't get through, okay? The lines will be tied up. 704-391-0588 right now. Call 1-800-338-7884. And if you're planning to send me an email, why don't you just change your mind and call me on the phone and let's talk together. Okay? I'd love that. Anybody across America, up in Canada, and in any other nation, you can call me anywhere in the world. I don't know the codes out of your country, but I know when you get into America, it is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. You call your company if you're in Australia and get the codes out of Australia and into America for your country. And then you call me and add to it 704-391-0588. And I'll be waiting on you. And you'll be my guest. Oh, you'll be my guest from Australia, from New Zealand. I've got listeners in all those countries. Pakistan, you know, Ukraine, Russia, all over Europe. You know, just wonderful people everywhere. Now, grab your phones. Don't wait another moment. Let me go to the lines here. How bad will it get before the rapture? Boy, that's a good one. How bad will it get before the rapture? Please give us your opinion on this subject. Blessings to you and your church and your family. How bad will it get before the rapture? I don't know. I just know it'll get worse and worse. And here's what I've been saying a long time. If Jesus don't hurry up and come, you're going to think you in the tribulation before the rapture. Now, it's not possible. It's not possible. That rapture will occur before the 7-year tribulation period. But you could well think it to be bad enough that you're in the tribulation, because that's just how bad. It's going to get worse and worse. This whole idea of sexual orientation, of transvestites, come on, having the right to use any bathroom they want to use right in the front of mothers and daddies and maybe their children. What are you talking about, friends? We're talking about something so vile, it breaks my heart to even think about it. Oh, I pray if you are in that lifestyle, you will come to Christ and let him deliver you. I'll be your friend. I will help you pray. I'll help you repent. I'll do anything I can for you. I've been weeping and praying and crying for you, I promise. So I don't know how bad it's going to get. I just know it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Is it true that the rapture was never preached before the year 1800? No, it is not. It was preached in the Bible. It was preached in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It was preached in Revelation. It was preached in 2 Peter. It was preached in Matthew 24. What are you talking about? Wasn't preached to 1800. That's a lie of the devil. I'm here to tell you. I'm telling you, if that is the case, how then can we be sure it is true? That is not true. Whoever says that it wasn't preached to the 1800s don't know their history. I'm telling you, I've read it. I've got quotes all the way back to the first century that proves beyond a doubt that they believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. Well, just read the book of 1 Thessalonians. I mean, the book of 1 Thessalonians, they were looking for him in their day to come and get them. I mean, what in the world? Let me go there. Just a moment. I'm overwhelmed when I have to answer questions like that, but I'm glad to. I want to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." How in the world would we go to heaven to meet the Lord in the air if Jesus was coming back at the end of the tribulation? That's powerful. That's powerful. Let me take a call here. My, what a wonderful day, and I want your question. Please call quickly. You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right, one more switch. I'm sorry. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Three letters of the name. Then press the EasyDex invalid entry.
All right, I don't know what happened. Try it again in there, please. For some reason, it wouldn't let me in. You know, sometimes that happens with these phone systems, and I'm sorry for it, so I hope that person will call right back. Very, very important. Are you on the air now? All right, that person is not coming through to my phone. I don't know the reason. I want to get every call I can. So while they get that straight, let me take you to another question here. I've heard teaching that the Scofield Bible is wrong to say that the rapture will occur before the tribulation. What do you say? The Scofield Bible is like all commentaries. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible part, the actual text. I'm talking about Scofield's notes. There are probably some right and some wrong. But he was a pre-trib rapture person, and so that was just what he happened to be. That's what he believed. And so he built it into his text, and that is perfect. And you are on the air, and may I help you, please?
Yes, sir. When you were speaking, I recalled some things that have happened over the last 6 months. You were talking about the situation in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, let's just spend one moment there, my brother, if you don't mind, but go ahead.
Okay. I called your program several months ago that I was in Houston when the Houston City Council was doing the same thing that Charlotte is considering, and there was a great uproar over it. And
do you think we can have as big of an uproar if they try to do this as they had in Houston?
I hope so.
I'm going to do my best to help those who will work on this issue. I understand the pastor of the First Baptist, Mark, I believe is his first name. I understand he's involved. I've tried to call him, but haven't got him yet. But I'm praying that we can stop it right here. But, you know, as long as we elect Democrats, we're going to keep getting this kind of junk.
In our Jewish Savior in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, the parable of the unjust steward said, he said, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." And I've been thinking that it's the problem with our churches, everybody's asleep, is that we need the unsaved world to come into their churches and explain to them what's going on in the outside world.
Yeah, so, that's not a bad idea.
So this is not without coordination. I was overseas at Christmas in a major European city. The same thing that went on in Houston is going on over there right now. So this is not without design or without purpose behind it. something or someone is pushing this.
You know, Obama, the day he was inaugurated as our president, that very day they changed the email message in the White House and let it be known without a doubt. I read it myself. We are going to be pro-homosexual, pro-lesbian, and pro-everything that that crowd stands for. And boy, have they proved themselves right.
And now we just need to get our low-information churchgoers to find out about it.
That's exactly right, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to start with Matthew 24, though, because Matthew 24 is as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. The denomination that I was a part of over 40 years, I was told by one of their ordained ministers this week that they passed at their last General Assembly that a man who has been married four or five times can become an ordained minister in the church.
There are absolutely no standards anymore.
No standards. And when a church reaches that point, it is a sin to stay in it. It really is. But I can't tell these people anything. They will not move.
John Wesley, even at the time he was alive, John Knox could probably say the same thing, or any Martin Luther of the Lutherans. All these great denominations were founded by men that would be shown the front door if they showed up tomorrow morning at the services of the denominations that they created.
And no doubt about it. I mean, we're dealing with something that breaks my heart. Well, thank you for calling. You're always a dear person and a dear friend, okay? God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers.
What? Yes.
You're talking about Matthew 24.
Yes.
I did something this week that really got me thinking. You're talking about Noah's time and even there at Sodom and Gomorrah. The end come when people quit getting saved, and you have very few people actually getting born again in America today.
You tell people what they've got to do to be saved, and they look at you like you are crazy. They've heard this giddy doctrines of what it means to be saved, walk down the aisle, shake a preacher's hand. I remember when the Baptists used to preach, and I loved it. They said, if you shake a preacher's hand until his elbow scrunches, and you're baptized in every pool of water until the bullfrogs call you brother, you're still not saved if you haven't been born again.
And I really hadn't noticed this week, but, you know, I don't know exactly how many years Noah built the ark, but it was at least 60. He never had one convert. And here in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was not one convert there.
But people are getting people are joining the churches. People are being baptized. You take these big rock and roll churches, they're taking them in by the hundreds. And I mean, if that preacher would stand up and preach a sermon like I'm talking today and lay it on the line, his congregation would diminish by probably 99% in just a few weeks.
The area where I live in, I can only think of three or four people that's actually went forward, made a profession of faith, and a year later, they're still coming to church.
Well, yeah, that's happening everywhere. I mean, I had a minister who was the second man at Calvary Church some years ago, and he said to me, our back door is the same width as our front door. They're going out as fast as they're coming in.
Yes, sir. So, you know, like you said, as it was in the days of Noah,
so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. I love you, brother. Call us quickly over the country now. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. What is your question about Matthew 24? Let's dig into this chapter. How about the third movement, the Great Tribulation Period? There are 12 verses. 12 verses that deal with the Great Tribulation Period. Let me just take a look. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he said, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. He said, then let them be which are in Judah flee into the mountains. And he goes into all of the details. He said, it will be great tribulation as it has never been, no, nor ever shall be. That's the third movement of Matthew 24. Wonderful. Now, questions about these different movements. I want to hear from you. Very, very important. Very, very. Here's a question. Can you explain verses 15 and 16 of Matthew 24? All right, Matthew chapter 24, verses 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now, what is the abomination of desolation? There were 70 weeks in Daniel's vision. The 70th week was the last of all those weeks and was a period of 7 years. Each of the week was a period of 7 years. 7 times 70, 490. The last of those 490 was this week, in which in the middle of it, the abomination of desolation. That's the Antichrist going into the temple in Jerusalem. Book of Revelation explains it perfectly, and he will set up his image in the book, in the temple in Jerusalem, chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, and he will tell the whole world, you've got to take this mark, or you can neither buy nor sell. That happens in the middle of the tribulation, and that's exactly what Jesus was speaking of. He was tying the book of Daniel to himself, right on into the book of Revelation. So in one statement here, Jesus ties three books of the Bible together. Daniel, Matthew, Revelation. Daniel, Matthew, Revelation. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And then John the Revelator reveals three different people. Let every word be established in the mouth of three different witnesses. Then let them which be in Judah. See, this will happen in Jerusalem, and the Jews will have thought for 3.5 years that they had a friend in this Antichrist, but suddenly they will see him as the Antichrist, and the Bible says they will flee Jerusalem. They will have to flee Jerusalem. He says, don't even go home to take nothing. He said, just get out of town. Find you a hiding place. And they will. Believe me, they will. Wonderful text of scripture. I love that. I hope I helped you understand it. If I didn't, you just email me right back. Let's grab another one here. So many here, I'm going to have trouble getting to all of them. But you call. I'd love to have you call 704-391-0588. I want you to get this booklet. And I want to give you that sermon. I really do. CD on Matthew, the grand sermon of Jesus Christ, and this booklet, which is the greatest prophecy given by Jesus Christ, Matthew 24, with an outline of the seven movements in that one chapter of the Bible. You talking about understanding the Bible, I think you will understand. Hello, Brother Chambers. Please give us your opinion on this subject. Blessings to you and your church and your family. Now, what does he ask the subject? How bad will it get before the rapture? Well, I've already given you that one while ago. So someone else is asking me the same thing. Now let's go here to another. All right, I'm trying to get to all of them. Here's Daniel 3:29. Please read Daniel 3:29. I'm trying to get you to understand this, Daniel 3:29. If you want to go with me in your Bible, we'll grab it quickly, 3:29, here we are. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Daniel 3:29, I want to make sure I'm in the right verse, and Abednego, he shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after that sort. That was Nebuchadnezzar when the miracle had occurred with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, he became a believer in their God, and he forbid anybody in his kingdom to say one word against the God of the Bible, or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that beautiful? That is breathtaking. Thank you. That was a good question, and I'm looking for more here that I may have missed. I want to hear from you. You are very, very important, my friend, and whatever your question is important to me. I'm moving through my questions here to make sure I haven't missed anybody. You are very important. Here's one. And this is not a question. This is a statement. This is our friend in Raleigh. You should mind your business. No one has to seek you. Imaginary God approval to live their life their own way. Well, No, nobody has to seek my approval, and nobody has to listen to anything I say. That's already true, sir. I wouldn't want it no other way. I don't want somebody being a Christian, or claiming to be, would be the only thing they would do, just to save their neck, just to get along with society, just to get away with the people in authority, just to, you know, to be a part of the system. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a choice you make of your own because you mean it, because you want to serve God. Well, let me hear from you. Hey, I want you to have this sermon, and I want you to have this book. I want everybody in my listening audience to start digging in your Bible, and I want you to start, if you haven't been reading and studying and digging in, get Matthew 24 and make it a part of your very mind. Read it every day the next week. We'll get this article off to you probably tomorrow, along with the sermon, and you'll have it at least by Wednesday or Thursday at the latest. You can dig right in. You can grow up spiritually and make yourself a spiritual giant. And I'm telling you, your life will be better than it's ever been. You can win your children. Listen, do you understand? If you miss that rapture too, let me read that. Let me get back to Matthew 24. I love this. Oh, I'm telling you, you're talking about loving this. I remember when I was just first saved, and I was somewhere in my car, and I cut on the radio, and the station started playing Matthew 24. You remember that song? Oh, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. If I'd have had it with somebody singing it, I'd have played it to start the program today. Maybe somebody has it and you'll send it to me on the internet by next Saturday, and I'll play it if it's sung right and they do, you know, they give it justice. I don't want just something cheesy, but if they do it justice, I'll play it and let you enjoy it, okay? Because Matthew 24 is a wonderful song, and I remember I heard this book preached, this chapter preached as a young Christian 63 years ago. It was big time preaching back then. Now preachers are scared of it because there's controversy about it. And there's people who say, no, it belongs to the Jews. It don't belong to the church. And they're saying the two in the field, one taken, one left was not Christians taken, but the weak had taken. And I thought, where in the world did they get such craziness? You can't read the text and get that if you're just honest with the text. Just be honest with it. Don't take something in the Bible and make it what you want it to be. Just read it and leave it like it is. That's the only way to do it, okay? Let's go here to see. We got some other questions coming in. I want to hear from you. You are important. You are very important. And I will do anything in my power to make it wonderful and meaningful to you. My lines are open and my internet's open, okay? Questions, your concerns, your interests. I want to help you understand Matthew 24 now. I know I've got new people who've joined me who didn't hear me at the beginning. I want to give you, notice seven. I want to give you seven movements in this one chapter of the Bible. Movement one is the introduction. Movement two is the signs that would precede the end times. Number three is the great tribulation period, 7 years of hell on earth. Number four is Christ's return to set up his kingdom on the earth. Beautiful, beautiful scriptures that deal with that. And then number five is kind of a prelude moving from those movements to something really exciting for people who want to escape all that evil that comes with the tribulation period. And so you got this change of tones in movement five, and then movement six is a picture of the wonderful pre-tribulation rapture. Now I want to read that. I think it's time to read those words right now and let you just take a look. They are beautiful. They are really beautiful. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, those taken away are the wicked. One taken, one left. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one taken, the other left. Now listen, watch therefore. Watch therefore. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's the Lord coming. How in the world can you take that taking away the wicked? Listen, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Wonderful truth. Really wonderful. You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, blessings to you today.
Thank you.
This is Beverly. I've talked to you before.
Okay, Beverly.
I have a little question on verses 29 through 35.
All right, verses 29.
I believe that, I mean, if I want to understand you correctly, you are saying this is about the second coming of Christ.
This is his coming to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon and set up his kingdom.
Right, because I've heard preachers, in fact, I just heard a preacher a week ago preach that this is the rapture.
No, this is not the rapture. This is the second coming to set up his kingdom.
And that's the way that I see it. But then also, I think where, so then you're saying verses 36 on are talking about the rapture.
Yeah, starting verse 37 is where he really talks about the rapture. See, he's told them these terrible things that's going to happen. He's told them about his coming back to the earth. But now, so they don't have to stay for that great tribulation period, he tells them of this escape, as it was in the days of Noah. Noah and his family escaped. They were caught away on the ark. And he's really saying the ark was a type of the rapture.
Don't you think that a lot of people, there's confusion here because he's talking about the second coming first?
Well, yes, but you see, if I was going to preach a sermon, I would give you 2, 3, 4 points, and then I would tell you, if my last point and all the message was pretty dark, I would tell you how you can escape all of that. And that's what Jesus did. He told them what was going to happen, how bad it was going to be, and then he says, but you can escape that tribulation period, because I'm coming to get my bride.
Right. Could you answer one? Can I use one more scripture in another?
Yes, you sure can.
Place in the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2:3.
Okay.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Could you explain to me how that fits in with what we're talking about today?
I sure can. It's a beautiful picture. We're living in the day right now of the great apostasy. That's what falling away means. Great apostasy. And the man of sin is evident. Everywhere you look, you're hearing and seeing the things that the man of sin represents. That the church world is full of deception. Every kind of doctrine you can imagine. The whole political world is just blind to all of this. Every sign on the earth, from earthquakes, famines, pestilence, all of this. See, we are seeing the evidence of the Antichrist everywhere. Now, we don't see his person. He is not revealed until after. Now, let me take you and go a little further for the mystery, verse 7 now. Can you go there? Same chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So something has to be removed before the Antichrist personally is seen and witnessed. We see the evidence of him. We see the signs of him. We see his works. We hear his spirit. But we don't see him. But after the rapture, the world will see him.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes, I do.
Don't that make it plain?
Yes, thank you for that.
So you've got to take verse 2 and go over and read verses 6 and 7, 8 and 9 to explain verse 2. I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The whole chapter has to be put together and not just take verse 2 and make a doctrine out of it.
But a lot of people are taking verse 3 and pulling that out and saying that that's why we have to go through you know, that the rapture cannot come until this man of sin.
Let me give you a picture. If I was fixing to get married, and I was getting my wife ready for the wedding, I mean, she is so excited. I'm fixing to steal her from her dad's house, and we're going to get married, and we're going to get out of there. And I would say to her, now, honey, I want to marry you. You're precious, but I want you to suffer, and I'm going to put you through 7 years of hell. If you'll be faithful to me doing that, then I'll come get you. Now, how many women would listen to that and be willing to marry me?
They wouldn't.
Well, now that's exactly what they're saying about the Lord. They're saying the Lord's bride, his wonderful people, have got to go through hell before they can be married and joined to their bridegroom. And that's insanity.
Earlier, you made a statement. I wanted to write it down, and I didn't. You said the greatest deception is when?
The greatest deception is when people preach false doctrines in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
See, the world is preaching Jesus in all kinds of settings. I mean, all kinds. But their doctrine is damnable. And that's the worst deception there is. And that's what Jesus said. He said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, talking about himself. But they shall deceive many. And see, most people preach that as these people claiming to be the Christ. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, they're saying I'm the Christ. But they're preaching false doctrines. Do you understand that now?
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, I'm delighted. It's a joy. Let me take another call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Joe, I just turned in. I don't know what the topic is, but I just want to say...
Matthew 24. We have to stay on Matthew 24.
All right, then. I'll pass on it then.
Well, is it about the coming of the Lord?
Well, I just turned in. Listen,
you call me next week, okay? Bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please? All right, nobody there. Well, somebody there, but they've got it. All right, give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, folks, we're dealing with one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, a sermon preached by Jesus Christ about the prophetic end. I mean, Jesus preached this sermon, and he laid it out so beautifully. He talked about, first he introduced it, then he talked about the signs, he talked about the tribulation period, and he talked about him coming to the earth. But then he goes so beautifully there and just kind of stops the whole picture so he can show them and warn them. Let me read the words between the second coming and then the rapture which precedes the second coming. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never or shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. People say to me, now Jesus didn't know then. You reckon he knows now? I said, well, if he knew now, he would have told us. You don't ever imagine something. You take the Bible plain and factually. Oh, I tell you, he's coming. Now, Matthew 24 is one great book of the Bible. I've got to find here if I've got any more questions. Please read to the Raleigh caller, the unbelief. Let me get that here. Please read to the Raleigh caller. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. But the words, or no, I'm sorry, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, someone wanted me to read that to our dear friend. I'm calling him a friend in Raleigh. Our dear friend in Raleigh. I'm calling my dear friend in Raleigh because I want him to know. These words, he that rejecteth me, Jesus said, and receiveth not my words, now Jesus said, hath one that judgeth him. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, the words that I, Jesus, have spoken, not me, Jesus, the same shall judge him in the last day. Oh, friend, let me tell you, we're in that last day. The coming of the Lord is at hand. I promise you, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, anybody out there, send an email, jrc@paulcreek.org, okay? jrc@paulcreek.org. I'm trying to see if I've missed any here. Don't want to miss anybody. The question related to Matthew 24, who are the elect of verses 22 and 31? Now, that's a good question. Verses 22 and 31. Let me read them. Verses 22. I'm in Matthew 24, verses 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. See, that's talking about when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem to set up the kingdom. And specifically, he must deal with the Jews when he comes back to Jerusalem. So he is saying to them, the days will be shortened that all of Israel, you understand that, what is it, two-thirds of Israel that gets destroyed? I believe that's right. I have to read that every time or I get that figure a little bit wrong. Two-thirds of all Jews will be killed and one-third will be converted. I'm sure that's right. And so he says, except the Lord would shorten the days, it wouldn't even be that one-third left. I mean, that's what the Lord said. So that's pretty plain, is it not? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's the gathering of the Jews all over the world. The gathering of the Jews all over the world. Now, I'm getting emails on my text, and you can't send them on my text. Listen to me. You've got to send them on my email, okay? Don't text them to me. Email them to me, because that's the only way I can deal with them, is if they are emailed to me. Okay, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, in verse 29, what does Jesus mean by immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken? Those signs sound like judgment under the seven trumpets, Revelation 8 and 9. I just know they are literally, when Jesus returns to fight the battle of Armageddon, there will be judgment on a worldwide basis, and all wickedness will be brought under the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. The wicked will be judged. Multitudes will be cast into the lake of fire or into hell, whichever may be fitting at that moment. And I'm telling you, that's talking about the judgment. Do verse 40 and 41 teach a select rapture? Does verses 40 and 41 teach a select rapture? Every rapture is select, brother. Every rapture is select. Those that are ready are the only ones going. Those that are ready are the only ones going. If you're living just a religious life with no devotion to Christ, and you do believe in Jesus, but the Bible says the devil believes in Jesus and trembles. So believing in Jesus don't save you if you haven't repented of your sins and you haven't been born again. Believing in Jesus is wonderful. I'm for it. But if you think that'll save you without repentance of your sins and being born again and becoming a new creature, somebody needs to help you. And I'd love to be the one to help you, because I love you too much for you to be lost. I really do. You on the air. May I help you, please? On the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor, I have one question I want to ask you, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response if you don't mind.
Well, I'm going to let you hang on, because you may want to respond a second question. Go ahead.
What difference does it matter what our end time beliefs are, as long as we are born again Christians?
What difference does it make? Well, number one, that's a good question, by the way. What difference does it make of our end times belief? The Bible said, and Jesus said this, unto them that look, no, Jesus didn't say this, Peter said, unto them that look for him shall he return the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto them that look for him. Unto them that look for him. Now, if you're not looking for the rapture, you're not going in the rapture. You've got to be living and watching and looking for him. My Bible says that. Now, I guess you believe the whole Bible. And so it's very important that you look for him. Number two, if you don't believe in an imminent rapture, it just kind of destroys so many people's fear of God. They just live any old way, because we don't know when it's going to be. I'll get ready when I get ready. I'll change when I get ready to change. Friend, the imminence of Christ's coming is an extremely wonderful doctrine. Read any of those early writers in the New Testament, and they talked about being ready at a moment's notice. They talked about being ready to go. Unto them that look for him is an evidence that they expected people to be excited about his coming. You find that over and over in the New Testament, is this excitement, this grand feeling that Jesus has come. There was even words that went around, hey, all of these are going to stay here until Jesus comes back. They was actually expecting that some of them would live until the rapture. So it's very important what you believe. What you believe about the end times will very likely determine how you live your life right now. Would you not agree with that?
Yes, sir, I agree with it. I just wanted to find out whether it made any difference whether you were post-trib, or amillennial, or what difference it really made.
Well, how can anybody who doesn't understand the end times be excited about living the Christian life? This life is not here and now. It's then and there. That's the whole thing life is about. I'm getting ready for eternity. I'm not getting ready to be some big name down here. I'm getting ready for eternity.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and so I'm very excited about my Lord. I love Jesus so much, I'd like to see him today. In fact, I've been so happy lately about eternity and heaven that I've been wanting to go. I mean, I would like to see that city up there. And so all of these things are extremely important to me. Thank you, brother. Bless your sweetheart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, preacher. I heard that five-year-olds in California were being taught about homosexuality, and if the parents took them out of the school, it was against the law, and I would have to break the law and go to jail, wouldn't you?
All over this nation, our schools are full of people who are teaching that any kind of sexual orientation you choose is perfectly fine. Everybody's on an equal par. Nothing wrong with nothing. That's coming to America like a storm. America is so close to being Sodom and Gomorrah until it breaks my very heart.
It does mine too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. How many are going to be praying for Charlotte this week? How many are going to be praying for Charlotte this week? How many are going to be praying for us to make an impact on that city council? To let them know they will have a reaction from the godly people of this city like they've never seen in their life if they try to poke this stuff down our throats. Poke it. Cram it. Let me say the right word. Somebody get me for saying the word poke. Cram it down our throats. They're not going to cram it down my throat. I'm here to tell you, I will go to jail any day and promise you I'll do my best to have a Holy Ghost revival in that jail. They'll put me out because I'll be preaching and teaching you. You say they'll gag you. Well, maybe they would. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm going to be faithful to the end. How many of you are going to be faithful to the end? How many of you believe Jesus is coming? Well, we're going to continue this subject next week, okay? Everybody listening to me now, make sure you're listening to me next week, beginning at the very beginning of the hour. And tell all your friends that we're going to talk especially all about that rapture and those wonderful verses about the two being in the field, the one taken and the other left. We're going to analyze those scriptures that go with that very truth, okay? We're going to analyze those scriptures. Now, those scriptures are seen in verses 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, and 44. We're going to analyze them next week, deeply, profoundly, until we can understand them. Are you ready? Will you help me? Will you be a part of it with me? Would you tell your friends about it? Tell your friends. How many of you are ready? Would you like to get ready? Now, pray for Charlotte. Pray for Charlotte, our city council considering making homosexuality and transvestites and lesbians and all of that crowd equal with the rest of us, using any restroom they want to use. I mean, just cramming it down our throats. How many will take a stand and pray? Pray hard. I mean, get on your face and weep for your city. Weep for your city. And join us as we give ourselves. And listen, above everything, help somebody get ready. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, tomorrow, Lord willing, tomorrow, the Lord willing, here's what I'm going to preach. The city of God, heavenly Jerusalem. That's my plan for my sermon in the morning. The city of God. That's the city up in the north, up in the northern parts of the stratosphere where God has his throne. And it is in the north, the Bible said. And it's a marvelous city. Oh, if you could understand what heaven's going to be like, you'd be ready to go today. I promise you. I promise you. We are living right at the verge of the coming of the Lord. Hey, I love you. Been a wonderful broadcast. I've loved every word of it, every moment of it. And I pray you've been blessed and you're getting ready for Jesus to come. I want you to get ready for Jesus to come. I really do. He's coming soon.
Heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God.
God, he's coming, folks. He's
coming. Chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng and the flood.